Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, all signs on Chiefs practice watch again. We know earlier today there was more reporting suggesting that Hollywood Brown is going to be activated for Saturday's game against the Texans. The game at noon right here on 96.5 The Fan. As far as the injury status today, once again, media that's out at practice reporting that Shamari Connor was not out there. DJ Humphries was, but not wearing a helmet. Also, Mahomes and Hollywood Brown were working. So no surprises. It's been trending this way for all four players I just mentioned throughout the week.
Yep.
No Connor, probably no Humphries, and then Mahomes continues to work. He's playing Saturday. I mean, come on now, barring something crazy happening. And then Hollywood Brown is going to be activated.
This is the last day of practice for the week. I still go back to the initial comments from Holmes in which he said this felt way better and responded way quicker than the injury he suffered in Jacksonville, a game in which he played that week. So it's hard to imagine that he won't again. Next up on What's Trending, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is reportedly signing with the New Orleans Saints practice squad. They've had quite a few injuries, including Alvin Kamara in and out some portions of the year. Obviously, I'm just glad Clyde found another job so fast. He's a former first-round pick. He's shown some production over the years. He got out of favor as far as getting on the field here, but by all accounts, an amazing teammate, and I'm glad he maybe found a landing spot.
I think it's practice squad from what I saw. I think it's a practice squad spot. I would say, like, I wouldn't expect him to play, though. I mean, that was the whole thing here. It's good for hometown team, mm-hmm. and gets to stay involved in the locker room and all that, but, like, I would be stunned if in the final 3 weeks he's playing.
No,
that
but
was
maybe
the whole
it's
thing.
Like
that was the whole thing that he wasn't really able to play.
Maybe it's get him in the building and see if he can be a backup for you next year, you know?
Oh, for next year, sure.
Means like, hey, get some work, get a little loose, and let somebody else get eyes on you. You've only been in the Chiefs organization so far.
Next up on What's Trending, Thursday Night Football tonight, an AFC West showdown. This was also the game in which the Broncos had to give the league permission to move them to Thursday. Remember, you don't have to play multiple, and they gave Sean Payton the choice to play a short week or not. He said, yeah, bring it on. And so the Broncos are going to L.A. on a short week. They're 2.5-point underdogs. And the Broncos in position, if they're with a win in this game, they'd be sitting real pretty for a playoff spot.
They said maybe it was because to try to create a rest advantage in a different part of the schedule, obviously, versus this one. But yeah, they did both have to agree in order to do it. Next up on What's Trending, bowl game season, obviously, Georgia Southern and Sam Houston in the New Orleans bowl tonight.
You guys watching tonight?
Oh, man, Georgia Southern, their quarterback, man.
Let's go.
Especially when there's Chargers and Broncos on at the same time. What time does that New Orleans Bowl start? Is it
7 p.m., I believe.
See, at least if it was an hour and a half earlier. If it was an hour and a half earlier, you could maybe talk me in. Okay, so you got an hour. Maybe you peek over to that one for a little bit.
They got absolutely 0% chance of me ever watching Georgia Southern versus Sam Houston. I mean, Chargers-Broncos is a real game between two AFC playoff teams.
This is a real game between two bowl teams.
This is a whiskey. No. This is a whiskey wrapping present Thursday night football kind of night. Pay attention to the first round of my fantasy football playoffs.
And good luck to you guys, by the way.
Is the bowl not sponsored anymore? It used to be like the R&L Carriers, and now it's just New Orleans Bowl.
No, it is the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Okay.
I don't know. You just
company man, get those sponsors out there.
That's
more,
right.
You know?
That's right.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many emails I got if I wanted to cover K-State's bowl there for.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
we got like, hey man, so many. Do I want a credential? Do I want to get there? Here's a hotel. Mm-hmm. Begging me to get there.
Yeah,
who is this person emailing you? Because I have a 249 miles of college football podcast. I haven't gotten a dang email.
We're on the media
from
list.
Anybody.
We're on the media
Jeez,
list.
Jeez, I need to find a way to get on the list. I'm actually going to be coming back home from Indiana that day, so I'm going
to. It used to be called the Guaranteed Rate Field Bowl. Now it's just the Rate Field Bowl. They're doing the same thing with the White Sox Stadium. I don't know if you saw
the Fenway Bowl, right?
Well, no. Sorry. Yeah, I guess I was confusing. I mean, like, naming-wise,
the
White Sox Stadium was also Guaranteed Rate Field. Now they're just going to call it Rate Field. So the whole company just must have changed their brand.
They took the guarantee out.
They don't guarantee it anymore. Right. They can't guarantee the rates.
It's just a rate field.
They can't guarantee them.
We know all about rebranding. We're 96.5 The Fan now.
We are.
That old logo's dead and buried. I hope to never see it again.
Are you guys going to at least watch
in the garage sale?
Are you guys going to at least watch the Pop-Tart Bowl? Did you see the updated trophy?
Yeah, it's an actual toaster.
It's incredible.
They worked with GE
so good
to make a real toaster inside of the Pop-Tarts Bowl trophy. Well
Pop-Tart
done.
Gets branding. Rate Bowl, no interest. If it was these two teams tonight, Georgia Southern and Sam Houston, but you were going to guarantee me a real-life Pop-Tart was getting eaten in a trophy that's a toaster, they might have me there for a minute.
There can only be one Pop-Tart Bowl. What would you like the R&L Carriers Bowl to do? What are they going to... What do you want them to do?
Move.
You want them to like back up the semi truck onto the field and the trophies inside of that at least or something?
Okay.
All right.
Create a little juice. Duke's Mayo Bowl. Dump some with mayo.
Well,
do something.
Yeah.
I can't wait for something.
The ones you like are the condiments and edibles stuff. So yeah, I mean, not every bowl is sponsored by a. I mean, I still think way back in the day, the Tostitos Bowl should have just been a bunch of Tostitos falling from the sky, basically.
I am
or
so
you
excited.
Should get salsa dumped on you or something.
Okay.
Queso.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, all right.
I'm so excited for next year. Bill Belichick's going to be in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and Bill Belichick is going to have mayo dumped on him after they win the bowl game. That'd be great.
That's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold, we're expecting Danan Hughes on the show in the next minute or so. Former Chiefs wide receiver, of course, will be on the call Saturday morning. Pre-game coverage at 9, kickoff at noon. Someone wants to know, did Charge already come on? He'll be on at 1 o'clock. Yeah. And you'll hear from Andy Reid around 1 o'clock today. So, no, you didn't miss anything. Just hanging out.
Charge
here.
Can still give you some fantasy advice.
Semifinals, man. It is go time.
I haven't, because I'm worse at fantasy than I used to. I'm grinding over a couple of decisions. I can't decide.
Maybe in the weeks that we don't have Charge, because this is the last week with Charge, maybe, and we're both off next week, but the following, maybe we'll do a two more What's Your Fantasy segments for the football season. And that's completely it. It's kind of that time, man. Where you end up having to navigate everybody's schedules around the holidays and everything like that. But let's get back to Chiefs Texans. Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joins us now thanks to Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danan, good to have you on the show, man. We saw the holiday party last night as well. Did you have you mastered the get in, talk to people, and just kind of slowly make your way out of the building?
Yeah, I did. I actually stayed a little while, so. Got to go in the locker room, which was cool. I go in there every game, but it's cool when they have it set up with the pub tables and people in there taking pictures and stuff. And then to mix and mingle with the entire Odyssey crew and team, it was really fun. I look forward to it every year.
Are you going to have enough voice for the game? We're worried about you. Maybe you had too much fun at the party.
I'm bundled up right now, sitting here. I'm actually in the hospital awaiting my granddaughter. She should be coming here in the next couple hours.
Well, congratulations.
So I've been here since 5 a.m. So, yes, Mila Joy will be here before we know it. So, thanks a lot. Definitely blessed. So, I'm getting much needed rest. Not many calls. Not much talking today. So, getting ample rest for Saturday.
What grandkid number does this make it?
This is number 4, and this will be the first one in almost 12 years. So,
all my
kids were kids when the other three were being born. So it's really cool dynamic to have adult kids that will now be true aunts and uncles to a new baby. So we're all excited.
Danan, I think one area of the field I know you pay the most attention to, wide receiver, the most important, I've always thought, especially when you're on a former wide receiver, but I think the way they've used Xavier Worthy over the last 5 weeks has become more and more clear to me, which is they put him in the Rashee Rice routes. They're using him more underneath. They're using him in run after catch. And I feel like it's a setup so that they can get the outside wide receiver running down the field in Hollywood Brown. Is that how you think they'll use him?
I don't think it'll be that cut and dry, but I get where you're going. There will be kind of a hybrid type of setup. I think, first of all, I got to give Xavier a lot of credit, a lot of props for what he's had to absorb in his rookie year. Andy Reid has been kind of known for bringing rookie receivers on a little bit more slowly. We saw that with Rashee Rice last year. And then you get to that mid-season mark, and he kind of takes the reins off. But that didn't happen with Xavier. He kind of started from the beginning, especially after we lost Rasheed, and they just kind of threw the entire playbook at him. And I was surprised, like, oh, man, he's lining up in the backfield. He's running run plays. He's running routes from the running back position. He's outside the numbers. He's in the slot. He's running jet sweeps. He's got the whole kit and caboodle. So that was impressive to me that he never looked, outside of a few technical situations with not knowing his presence on the field and you know, different plays that he could have made that he probably makes 99 out of 100 times. Outside of that, he never looked like he was out of place. He never looked like he was not aligned in the right places. Didn't seem to have to get any extra coaching from Patrick or Travis when he's breaking the huddle. And that tells you how sharp he is and how smart he is. And that's credit to the Brett Veach and the scouting crew to not just to get him for his speed, but also his brain. Now, what we saw early, especially against the Chargers, I was just looking at a clip of, you know, the big play he had against the Chargers over the top. Now we're starting to use him more in the horizontal routes, like you said, like Rashee Rice. And it's one thing to keep up with a receiver going straight down the field outside the numbers. It's a whole other thing to keep up with him going from sideline to sideline horizontally. And with all the traffic and the picks, and everything else, the other traffic that's going on, it makes it extremely tough to keep up with that speed. And if you go back to this last game, Patrick had already had in his mind that he was going to take that home run shot to Justin down the middle of the field. Otherwise, if he'd have saw Xavier Worthy on a shallow cross, he might have ran in for a touchdown there. So they're utilizing him in creative ways. And now with Hollywood coming back, I think it's going to be a really, really special combination between those two. And Hollywood's got something to prove as well.
What kind of snap count do you think we're even seeing from Hollywood, though? I mean, he went through all OTAs and training camp. And so, I mean, in terms of knowledge of the playbook, it's going to be there. But, you know, we hear about timing all the time. You know, he was able to stay in shape because it wasn't a lower body injury. Could he play more than I think some people would think he's going to play 15, 20% of the snaps. That's kind of my thinking. But could he surprise us and play more?
I would think it'd be smart to get him like 20 plays ish. And then if he definitely comes out healthy, you got a quick turnaround. Not so much because it's his first game, but because you have another game on Wednesday. So you don't want to put too much on his plate where that game, he becomes questionable or he goes in with some, unexpected soreness, because I think they want to kind of maximize what they can get from him and get him game ready and game speed, game experience these two games. And then if you're able to win both, then you got a small sample package for him, if anything, against the Broncos, and then get ready and revved up for the divisional round at Arrowhead Stadium. So I feel like there's going to be a method to the madness. There's definitely going to be a plan. And I would not be surprised to see him out there for 20 or so plays, and specific plays that he can get the necessary work at full speed and get that game experience for the season.
Dana, were you surprised? I mean, it seems like an oversimplification, but simply put, having Charles Omenihue and one more qualified edge rusher on the defense seemed to have completely changed the fortunes of the defense from the month before, as in they look night and day different because one player's addition, not that he is single-handedly wrecking the game, but that literally everyone else is better around him. Are you surprised that one player on the defensive line could make such a big difference for him the last three games?
No. I think if you look at the games prior to that, if you have one glaring weakness and you're able to fill that weakness, it only makes sense that everybody else will prosper from it. So for me, I've been anticipating his return because I felt like his length, his speed, and the fact when you come off of injury, and even last year coming off of suspension, like it's a whole load to deal with somebody who feels like he has to prove something. And even speaking with Charles Omenihue in the locker room, you can tell leading up to the games, you can see him, you know, you can see the fire, and he was wanting to get out on the field, not just to help the team win, but also to be able to show Case to the world that he was back and he was a force, just like he was last year, late in the season. So I give him credit. You know, it's tough to come back from injuries, especially when you sustain an injury in the postseason. And you have to sit through OTAs, training camp, preseason, and actual games. And, like, you know, licking your chops, waiting for the opportunity to get on the field, and then time finally comes. So he's maximized that effort, loosened some things up for Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, and now we're seeing the fruits of that labor.
We're talking former Chiefs wide receiver Danion Hughes. He'll be part of the broadcast along with Mitch Holthus, Stan Israel, Josh Klingler, Saturday, noon kick, right here on 96.5 The Fan. We heard Trent McDuffie describe his first career interception, saying he kind of glanced up at the Jumbotron to know Jameis had let go of the football. Did you ever, as a receiver, you ever look at the Jumbotron mid-play?
No, I did look at, you know, you do glance up at times if you're running away from somebody. There's times where if you're covering special teams, you might glance up. But it's almost one of those deals where it's like you do it unknowingly at times. Now, there's calculated times where you see a lot of breakaway running backs or receivers look up at the Jumbotron to see if there's somebody sneaking up behind them mm-hmm. so they don't get the ball punched out. But I don't think I've ever seen a defensive back use that to his advantage mid-play, not get any unnecessary pass interference, not get too handsy or have a accidental collision. Like, that takes a lot of dexterity. It takes a lot of agility to be able to run full speed, avoid contact, glance up at the Jumbotron, spin around, pick up the ball, know exactly where you are on the field, get both feet in bounds, get your face mask pulled, and still hold on to the football. Like, there's a lot going on in that clip, and it was cool to see that he took that glance to kind of know things were still happening, because you're taught to play through the echo of the whistle, and you're listening for a whistle. And when plays are extended because the quarterback's scrambling, the defensive line hasn't gotten to the quarterback or what have you, you don't know that because you're running downfield with your back to the line of scrimmage. So you're listening for the crowd. You're listening for the whistle. You're doing all that while trying to avoid a penalty and being sloppy. So, like, when people simplify the roles of athletes in specific situations, like, there's much more meat on the bone than just lining up, running next to a receiver, and deflecting a pass or intercepting a pass. There's a whole lot of other activity and action going on, and it's cool to see an all-pro. And I wondered, I don't know if you guys did, but I wondered, I was like, are we going to have the best corner in the league, an all-pro corner, two out of his first 3 years, be a guy that goes another full season without an interception? Yeah. Like, is that possible? And I'm glad he kind of got that monkey off his back.
I feel like he's going to end up getting another couple picks now. Like, sometimes, I mean, we hear that as a defensive unit at times, that, you know, it can be turnovers can be contagious kind of thing. For a player, I wonder if all of a sudden McDuffie's going to have another one, whether it's this weekend or on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think once you get that first one, then they can come in bunches, you know, not to the tune of that he's going to break any records, but now that you know you can get your hands on the football and, you know, it's not about deflecting the ball. A lot of times there's a lot of corners that are good cover corners, but in the back of their mind, they have that little bit of thought or a little bit of concern about getting beat. And then the great corners are the ones that, instead of having that concern, they're thinking, I'm not going to get beat. I'm going to get the ball. And I've played with guys that were more, you know, they leaned more towards deflecting the ball. We've seen guys, I remember early career Charvarius Ward, who got a lot of penalties. And you would say, I'd sit up there, and I wasn't doing the broadcast back then, but I'd sit up and I'd watch. I'm like, he just doesn't trust his abilities. He knows he has them, but there's an inkling of a doubt of his abilities because he's in great position. He's in the side pocket of the receiver. He's running. He's squeezing him to the sideline. He's doing everything right. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, he reaches his hands out and grabs a receiver. And it seems like that's something that is uniform with a lot of corners. And then the light switch turns on and they realize, hey, I don't need to do this part. I'm in great position. Now I can make a play on the ball. So maybe that's going to be the fate of Trent McDuffie, and we've got a ball hawking corner in the making in 22.
Last question I have for you, Danny. You played football a really, really, really long time. Youth, high school, college, pros.
Oh, you didn't say a long time ago. That's good.
No, just a long time. Just you played for a long time. Have you ever seen a player go 6 for 6 on sprained ankles on playing the next week? I feel like that's under-discussed in this, is that he has now had an ankle sprain 6 different times, and every single one of those times it won't cost him a single game.
So when you guys were super young, that's when I was playing, so I'm adding in playing a long time ago. But in 1997, we kind of sparked things off on a 13-3 season, number one seed, with superhero themes. We had Andre Rison, who was Spider-Man, and Mark McMillan, who was Mighty Mouse. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is like Wolverine. I don't know if he wants to grasp that, but the regeneration of Patrick Mahomes and how he's able to kind of shake off injuries and, you know, go back on the field. When you talk about a high ankle sprain, you're usually talking about weeks of sitting out. And the fact that he was out as a full participant earlier this week and seeming like he's going to play only speaks to some kind of superhuman abilities. So I may reference him on the broadcast as Wolverine. Don't be surprised if that happens, but it's impressive. And I think it permeates through the locker room and to the rest of the team. Anytime you have somebody at that position who displays that kind of toughness, like if you got a stubbed toe or ingrown toenail or a messed up finger, like I think Xavier Worthy has had, or any kind of bump or bruise that's holding you out of practice or sickness or anything like that. How do you live with yourself when you know 15, you know, has had a high ankle sprain and he's back on practice, not just the game, but out at practice. So I think that kind of mindset instills a lot of toughness to everybody. And, you know, when those guys are feeling bad for themselves, the weather is cold, they may not feel like practicing, the season has gotten long, they got this nagging injury that everybody has, I think it propels extra toughness when you know that your quarterback is battling through for the goal. It's one thing to say and continue to say in the media and say the right things about going for a three-peat and trying to be, make history. It's a whole other thing to put in the work consistently and battle through all the adversity that you have to engage in throughout a season. So I think it'll galvanize the team, and it's going to be special to watch. And Patrick also knows, hey, if we can get this win this week, turn around quickly and get the win on Christmas Day, then he's going to get multiple weeks off. And hopefully he and everybody else will be almost like new going into that divisional round.
Well, Danon, rest the voice, man. Get that thing ready for Saturday, and congrats to you and the family on the grandchild.
Appreciate it, fellas.
There you go. Right. Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joining us as he does each and every week. And he, of course, will be on the call Saturday right here on 96.5 The Fan. He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I didn't know he had the messed up voice. I would have probably just given him the day off.
You gotta let him rest?
Got to get that voice right for the broadcast on Saturday.
So Patrick Mahomes going to play on a high ankle sprain, but Danon can't with a slightly
that's right.
strained voice.
I appreciate Danon calling
in. Danon says it permeates through the organization.
That's right.
Danon's here to play. Also, I guarantee you he spoils his grandkids.
I'm sure.
He's got the energy that, like, I mean, just spoils him right.
Start drinking some tea and honey, though. Get that voice right. Get that voice right for Saturday's kickoff. He's got 48 hours.
Honey and tea will go a long way. You had a week earlier this year. It's tough. It's tough doing radio when your voice is dying.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Up next, we get to all 32 and the random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. Also, 1 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Andy Reid. Also, Paul Charchin of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com will join us. We'll get you set for the semifinals for a lot of your fantasy football leagues. Plus, it's a Snitch Line Thursday. We only do this every couple weeks. Figured we'd do it before the holidays and before everybody takes a little time off and stuff. So 1:15-ish today, Snitch Line Thursday.
Maybe you also had your company party, right?
Yeah, something you saw at the company party. Something that you did at work recently. Something you saw a coworker do. Anything you want to get off your chest before the new year. 913-586-7965. That's coming up around 1:15 today on Cody and Gold. But let's get to all 32 around the NFL. Mine is not on the field per se. I think it's kind of cool, but then I want to give you a different perspective from a former NFL player on this. So you may have seen the Chiefs Twitter account put out the gifts that Mahomes gave his offensive lineman. It's been a tradition in the NFL for many, many years where the quarterback gives his O-lineman a gift or gifts. And it's probably increased publication recently. And when you're
in value, you would think
based on who your quarterback is, your gift that you get might be better than others. And that we'll get to that in a second. But the Chiefs put out the photo of what Patrick Mahomes got as offensive lineman. Big red Yeti cooler, some Rolexes for each one of his.
Rolexes, damn.
Oakley sunglasses, really cool.
Just one of those
boots.
Wasn't enough? Damn.
One of those like Normatic recovery leg things. You know what I'm talking about, the sleeves?
Yeah.
Some Whoop bands and a couple of the linemen. In the photo, there's like two linemen that got Louis Vuitton. They look like luggage, and I can't tell who's in front of. I think it looks like the Louis Vuitton luggage is in front of Ethan, is in front of Driscoll. I think he got maybe some of the linemen that maybe you don't have as much in the old bank account some Louis luggage. But that's just looking at the photo. Now, on the flip side of this, I thought it was an interesting perspective from Mitchell Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman. You guys hear him on the Fan Football Show on Fridays. He says, I don't like how publicized this stuff has gotten in the last few years across the league, and people follow it up are like, hey, why? It's an interesting perspective. He said, it's a gift from the quarterback to his guys, thanking them for their hard work. He was given great gifts before this publicizing of things became a thing, so he's not in it for that. I feel it's more personal than a team account farming for content. If the recipients are that appreciative and want to put it online, then more power to them, or it's up to them, I should say. I get what he's saying. I do think there's
probably... Name of the game is big business.
Yeah, my guess is a lot of those gifts probably are through marketing deals, and it's great for like a company. Yeti, I'm sure, loves the fact that Patrick Mahomes was going to gift
and Rolex
lineup, and Rolex and all
whatever
that.
Whatever those recovery-like things are.
But it is obviously very, very nice that the quarterbacks do this, but it's become a tradition at least for a long, long time.
Like, I get it. It was a recent podcast. We don't have to play the audio, but like there was a recent podcast that was talking about this, and a former offensive lineman said he had like a bad rookie, right? Like Sam Darnold, and he got him grilled tools. Not a grill. He's like, notably did not get him a grill, and all the offensive linemen put his car up on blocks.
Yeah.
And then Josh Allen was his quarterback, his second stop when he was a rookie, and he got him like iPad Pros, and he just wanted to make sure that they weren't going to mess with his Range Rover. So like, I get this. Sometimes I think athletes are crybabies in the public relation part of it. This is why you're handsomely paid. Gold? They can post every Hanukkah gift I get you for the next 30 years if they want to pay me $20 million a year. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The juice is worth the squeeze. The trade-off is worth it. I understand it feels personal. There are things that you guys can keep in-house, like the Woody Johnson report earlier where like the kids are just going in there with their boys in what is supposed to be a closed locker room. Yeah, no good. But like that, it's just gifts. Like, and here's the other thing. I don't think Patrick Mahomes, like, pined over this, okay? Like, it would feel more personal if he individually made them, like, cookies and he, like, baked them to the fine. But, like, he went to Rolex and said, can you get me something? I don't think this, like, grinded his whole day. Hell, someone might have done this for him. I'm not, like, it's with a lot of money.
Oh, well, his relationships with some of these companies obviously make it happen. But, it's still a pretty amazing gift that he gets.
Someone says, don't just
alignment.
Get those boots. They ain't cheap, those cowboy boots.
Yeah, what are they? How do you pronounce it?
Locasey?
Locasey, is that how they're pronounced?
Is that how it, Drew?
Locasey, Locasey. They're very fancy. Look up the price of those things.
I'm sure they're hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars. My All-32 is on Sam Darnold.
Some of them are very expensive. Oh, some of
bucks.
Them. I mean, the one... I don't know if they're the exact ones, but it looks just like the ones. It says they're $17,000 a pop, but I don't know.
What?
I'm not seeing that.
Damn. Those
I'm not
look
even
more
able to
gainer.
Find them.
Those are gainer? The other ones look a little more black, like leather.
Okay.
They look
okay.
more patent leather.
Okay, all right.
So they're probably
right.
not $17,000, but still okay. they're probably a lot. My All-32 is on Sam Darnold. He's having a tremendous year. He, his team is 12-2. They have a chance for the number one seed. He's got 29 touchdowns for 11 picks. But I kind of refuse to fall into this camp that it just erases anything he did as a starting quarterback. I'm just going to tell you right now, buyer beware on the next Sam Darnold contract. Part of the reason he is such a great value for Minnesota is because you can afford Justin Jefferson, afford Jordan Addison, afford all the defensive players, afford all the offensive linemen. The Geno Smith thing should be what's buyer beware. Geno Smith is not a bad quarterback in Seattle. He's a good starting quarterback. But when you pay him, all the other stuff becomes harder. I think part of where Sam Darnold's success is that they're loaded. They're just loaded.
Well, Kevin O'Connell's
great. And a lot of quarterbacks would have succeeded in that. This is not to knock the season he's having. He's having a tremendous year. I'm just saying buyer beware on whether it's the Vikings who gives him the contract extension or some other team after
Be careful. If it's the Vikings, I think it'll be fine. I think we know he works in that system with Kevin O'Connell. The concern is who pays him if you're not with that system, right? And you're not with exceptional play caller and play designer as what they have in O'Connell right now.
All right, so for my all 32, by the way, yeah, I saw 3,500 consistently for those boots.
Okay.
Anyways.
Man, could you imagine if I just started wearing boots? Like, because I had to. Someone gave me $3,500 boots, I got to wear them. So every time we're out to a company party, I was just in these $3,500 Lucchese boots. You'd make fun of me a lot.
So my all 32, I saw this. The Pro Bowl, obviously, you know, they do their games like tug of war and all that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of Cincinnati players play in that a lot.
They're adding trivia. They're adding trivia.
I kind of like that, honestly.
No.
What?
What the hell are we doing? So a trivia is part of the quarterback game where they get more targets if they answer NFL trivia properly with the right answer or something along those lines.
The reason why it's funny is it turns out none of them ever know the history, and it's hilarious. They'll give them painfully obvious questions where the answer is like Dan Marino, and they'll guess somebody way off. That's what's funny about it. It's good TV. You don't want to see them as questions?
I mean,
I don't watch this stuff for the most part anyways. I watched the flag football game like the first year it happened, and it was fine.
It's been years since I paid attention to any Pro Bowl festivities.
I just think in terms of them like doing it, like that's not something that makes me want to watch the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, the ratings decent for it. I know we all say we don't watch.
That's because it's on ABC.
I don't watch, but frankly, we're spoiled here. Everybody's getting ready for the Super Bowl in Kansas City.
They need to put it back in Hawaii is what they need to do. I don't know why they went away from Hawaii in the first place, but they should put it in Hawaii.
I mean,
I don't even know how long ago it was, but
I do kind of miss it being in Hawaii. It felt like the
give
Pro
people
Bowl.
A reason. Yeah, give people a reason to go on vacation to a spot other than like nobody. Vegas is great, but if you can go to Hawaii, fantastic. And nobody wants to go to LA for the Pro Bowl. Let me go to Hawaii.
All 32 encompasses all 32 teams. That includes the Kansas City Chiefs. I want you to do a guy a favor on the text line, Gold, from the 816. He said, guys, I just got back from basic training yesterday evening. Can you tell me what happened in KC Sports from October 15th to now? Just a brief synopsis. He said the drill sergeant told him the Chiefs look like crap, but they're 13-1. Can you give somebody who is proudly serving our country the last 2 months of Kansas City-based sports in a nutshell?
I would say the Chiefs keep on winning football games. Their offense has looked stagnant plenty of times. Their defense, people have questioned throughout the season, yet they continue to win football games, and people are coming up with new reasons every single week why this team cannot win a Super Bowl despite what we have seen from them a year ago. Remember a year ago when you were in town and it was mid-October, it was November, and everybody said this team's not good enough, they can't fix these things, and then they won a bunch of games in Super Bowl? That same thing is happening right now. And this team is going to finish and already could lose out and finish with more wins than they had a year ago, which was 11. And this team might be a number one seed at 16-1. And yet people aren't happy.
So he would have caught the Royals into playoff run. Yep. That was like the 1st of October. The KC Current lost in the semifinals for the NWSL championship. The Royals re-signed Michael Wacha during that time. The Kansas City Roos beat Wichita State yesterday. That's kind of a big deal. Or 2 days ago. I don't want to knock that down.
WNBA expansion. Yeah, the
Missouri,
about
Kansas, and K-State all KC? Pooped the bed on their college football season, giving themselves no chance.
Missouri beat Kansas for the first time since 2012.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
K-State basketball is not good anymore, and their coach is complaining about NIL stuff. We didn't mention the Royals, yes, because that was actually
he said
before.
October 14th.
Yeah, before. Text line's asking us why we haven't mentioned the Royals. Happened before this.
I mentioned they re-signed Wacha.
Gentleman went to
Bobby Witt finished second in the MVP, even though he should have won it.
That's right.
He also got married, and every other Royals player got married in between October and
Vinny's
now.
Vinny's got beef with who is it? Jake? Is that his name?
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you need some background, Vinny's got beef with a guy on Instagram, so you did miss that too. Are there any other locals we're missing here?
No.
College basketball is pretty unimportant other than the MUKU one. I don't have any other juice for you there.
Yep.
Other than Jerome Tang said that players think it's hard now because they're paid.
I mean, Coleman Hawkins is right, though. Fans shouldn't be saying they hope he breaks his leg.
Of course not.
But
that's never cool.
It comes with the territory of expectations because, when you're making $2 million as a player, as a college player,
Someone said Vinny's tweet to me could steal some of the Chiefs season. Oh, no, my teams keep winning every game, but not by enough points. Sad face. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. You and Casey did win a basketball game by 100, too. You would have missed that on this show at Basic Training. Calvary Bible College really wrecked.
That did happen.
In the game. That's nice. I think it's, you know, kind of missed out.
I would say that's a good synopsis.
Could you imagine search the internet trying to find out everything that happened in KC sports for 2 months? That'd be tough. How long do you think you'd make it through basic training? They paid you $1,000 a day to stick it out.
$1,000 a day?
To stick it out.
Ooh. You're sticking out the whole time.
I think Gold's making like 20 days. And then he's just going to be like, that's good. 20K is fine. I think he's going to find a number where he's like, good enough.
You want to make it a month?
I think if I was there, and I don't know how old this individual is. If I was there and I was like 20 years old and you actually like committed to doing something like that, that's the one thing.
I mean, now at your age.
No, I wouldn't make it. I don't think. I'll say this. Like, if I commit to something, especially something like that, like I'm going to follow through. I don't commit to something and then just like half-ass it. So that's just my whole philosophy on a lot of things. But no, I at this point, probably not. Not, you know, eating too many of those mini donuts in the morning and everything.
People also pointed out Brady Singer got traded. Sorry, we should have mentioned that one while he was gone.
Very true.
There's a lot happened in the last 2 months.
Yeah, Jonathan India is now a Kansas City Royal.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they traded for Jonathan India. Man, okay. There's a lot happens in 2 months. I just don't think about it sometimes because we do it every day.
See, the individual that texted in said he's 25, former firefighter, now combat medic. Yeah, so he's already used to
this guy's just a badass.
Yeah.
I got it. We're not. He is. Yeah. Noted.
All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. And, of course, you can hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show. Please like and subscribe over on YouTube or Twitch. Give us a chance to get you more video content out as well. Question I have for you today is around this time, right? Everyone does the white elephant-related things. In my family, we do it with real gifts, not gag gifts. Budget of about $25 to $30. I want you to tell me whether or not, I hope none of my family's listening to this, otherwise they know what I'm bringing. I want to know whether or not this is an acceptable white elephant gift with a family full of adults. Because my wife seemed hesitant on this, I'll be honest, and I think it's great. So a lot of times I'll get like booze, right? I get a bottle of bourbon, or I'll put scratcher tickets, or coffee stuff, or like homewares, right? Like some Tupperware, like things people like that they don't want to buy for themselves that exist in these, right?
Cool. Every hour of the show things today somehow is involved a conversation with you bringing up alcohol. I just want to point that out.
That's true. Today. A lot of alcohol.
What's going on today? It's the holidays, man. I guess so, man.
It's the holidays. That's why. So the question, this is not alcohol related. I did not buy that. Is it appropriate for a white elephant group full of adults, the gift I purchased for the secret white elephant exchange, dueling Nerf pistols? So like Nerf guns, but pistols. Remind me, we're all adults.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like in our 40s. Everybody who's going to be exchanging here will probably be in our 40s. Maybe a couple that are 25 or 26 who are also full-grown adults on that end. Is that an acceptable gift for an adult-based white elephant?
Yeah.
I guess you know your family, right? So I wouldn't.
We'll be in the street playing with those inside of five minutes of them being opened.
I think it depends on your family. You clearly obviously know your family better than anybody, and so that's something that they're going to enjoy. I think for others would say no. Like that wouldn't be probably something that I would get with ours, but that obviously
you
is something
that. You and your sister wouldn't go out there and do with the Nerf pistols?
Also, mainly because then the nephews would become a mess. But yeah,
that might have been her hesitation.
Yeah,
I think that's part of the fun, though. In fairness, like it becomes a mess, but it's supposed to be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like you know, one
let's
of the
go
things,
have some fun and not worry about anything that happens. You know, as long as somebody's eye doesn't get poked out or whatever, we're good.
Like try to avoid things breaking for the most part, but also just accept that if you have kids, sometimes slime is going to get on something or a Nerf gun's going to get used. We grew up in a chaos household, so maybe this didn't seem as weird. You wouldn't use it for yours. What if it was a workplace one? Would you do it like here?
Well, we had that for a while.
If it were an Odyssey,
they had a small one that you have to walk every corner you walked around, he would just be standing there.
If he had kept that up, I was going to buy the machine gun one and teach him a valuable lesson. They're honestly, Nerf guns are way cheaper than you think that they should be.
Yeah, the machine gun one.
Machine gun was like $30.
$35.
Oh, wow. Look at that thing. It's a Gatling gun.
72 darts.
And it's how much?
$35.
That's nuts. I thought the dueling one would be the most fun for us on Christmas, right?
Oh, yeah.
10 paces, turn around. You know, the whole thing.
The whole 10 paces thing would be fun. It just makes it fun.
I guess follow up. What are the items you like the most in those? Like in the White Elephants, maybe this will give me some new ideas for next year. Gold, do you guys do anything like that in your family, or everybody just get everybody's gifts? Everybody just gets somebody something.
Yeah, we already get. I mean, we just do the gift for each person anyway. Like I gotta get stuff for my nephews and my brother-in-law and sisters this weekend. As a matter of fact, so we just do an actual gift.
We
whatever.
Didn't. Even
but White
kids,
Elephant gifts, I know around like the offices and stuff. A very popular one this year seems to be the mini s'more kit. You've seen those? Like the little tabletop mini s'more kits. Those are very popular White Elephant gifts this year.
Interesting. I just don't know what I use it. I like it to be something useful in long run, if possible, you know? That's all. Like, if it's plausible, I like it to do that way. We drew names. So we just got, like, one sibling a gift. I didn't buy... It's too many of us, man. I wasn't buying six, and I still don't. We just don't draw names anymore. We do White Elephant instead.
Yeah.
We drew names for a long time, and then some siblings became unreliable in getting the gift for the person that they drew, and it became a whole thing.
We've had a couple Christmases where if it's our bigger family, like the bigger side of the family, we'll do the draw names thing. But traditionally, we don't do the White Elephant. How about this? So somebody said scratchers. Obviously, that's a popular one. What if you did a parlay? I saw this on Twitter the other day. Somebody did a parlay for a White Elephant gift.
They gifted
somebody a $5 par or a $20 parlay that won them that could win $1,800 or something.
So it's just a different way.
It's a different way to do the scratcher tickets. Yeah, now it would probably require you go get the physical ticket
because doing
it on the app wouldn't be as fun. I think you would need to go out to Hollywood Casino or something and get a physical ticket. And yeah, you give everybody a random $10, $20 parlay and then see what happens. Kind of a different way to do the scratcher ticket. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
From 816, Kramer says that his friend once bought a samurai sword from the pawn shop for $25. What the hell am I going to do with a samurai sword?
Yeah.
I got two young kids. I can't keep a samurai sword.
That would be pretty bad.
I will say, though, going to the pawn shop would be a fun place to go look for something for $25.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could find all kinds of weirdness for $25 at the pawn shop. That's actually not the worst place to go looking.
Actually, getting a samurai sword, like, when you open it, it'd be like, what is this? Like, that would be crazy.
Somebody did want to know, off of the random question of the day, though, they said, did we address the notion that C-Dot and Rob made at the beginning of yesterday's show? We've been getting this text a lot today. They said that Rob and Drew are now beefing. Do you know the backstory here? And Carrington said, because Rob's beefing with you, then that means Carrington's beefing with the entire midday show. So what's going on here? What happened?
Rob and I discussed some stuff last night, and just about like the beef in general. I think we just have a beef in general with the whole drinking thing. With the lightweight stuff,
goes back to what. I think
combined, I think we'd be able to outdrink.
Oh,
Carrington and Rob. I know that we have an extra person, but I think if you just took one of us out, I think collectively,
Rob's seasoned. Carrington, either of us could outdrink Carrington. That's not a problem.
Last time we talked about this earlier in the show, someone said, Cody, you're 40. It doesn't matter how much you drink anymore. Someone on the text line said that.
You're going to feel terrible. Either way.
I think I could hang longer than you guys think I could hang. If I'm having the same drink and I get to pick the drink out, I think I could hang as long as you guys can hang. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to back myself up in this. I know that you and I, Cody, technically have a little bit of beef in regards to this because you're the one that started
this
whole deal.
This all goes back to the same thing. But now we're a team. If they're against you, I'm with you. We're a show.
If we're doing show-to-show beef, we can outclass them.
Yeah.
And, text line, you can bring this up to Rob. You can bring this up to C-Dot as well. We can outclass them in terms of
they want to make enemies with us. That's fine. Please do. From the 816, by the way, popular items are blankets and beanies. Those always do really well. Somebody said from the 913 they got a new toilet seat one time from the White Elephant. Said electric installed, so it was heated. He said he still uses it every day.
Heated toilet seat. Okay.
Could be worse, right?
From the 816, Facebook Marketplace is a gold mine for White Elephant. Sorry, I'm staying
Drew.
Away from it. I'm
be
staying
careful.
Away. I hear that and I run away.
Someone said a mini Papa shot for like $45. I mean, I've never really thought about going to the pawn shop or Facebook Marketplace looking for that stuff.
Oh, C-Dot's, hold on. C-Dot said I get loopy after two LaCroix. Settle.
LaCroix.
Whoa. All right, look.
Okay, he made it way stronger than me. I just made one small insinuation. I'm with you now, Drew.
I'm going to be honest. Carrington keeps on asking me when I'm going to go to Weston again. I feel like
He enjoyed you going up there. He did say that you were ready to leave after one.
No. He's gassing things a little bit. I had multiple drinks. I had multiple shots. And it was 12:30, and I was just ready to go home. I wasn't drunk. I was just ready to go. I was done. I was ready to go home. I wasn't drunk. I could have kept drinking. If we want to make it a challenge this time, the next time that we go to Weston, fine. We get everybody out there. I don't care.
So Carrington mentioned this Weston trip to me, and I do want to make thing one clear to prove that the beef is real. Carrington, in describing that story to me in which you were not present, did make it sound like you got so drunk off of three drinks you couldn't possibly get home, and that he was going to help you get home based
crazy.
On the level of drinking you had done.
That is out of pocket.
That is the way he made it seem in the retelling of the story.
He did say
that. That is out of pocket. I had three drinks last night, and I drove home perfectly fine. Oh, didn't have any headache. Sorry about that.
That's the random question of the day. Let's end
it
right there.
Yeah. I was fine last night.
You did not seem drunk or tipsy in any way.
If you had me walk in a straight line for 50 feet, I'd be able to walk right on the line. If we want to compete, I'm down. I don't like Carrington speaking on my name like that.
Someone say fan day in Weston, you know?
As if I was off my ass in Weston. No, I was not. I will say it was impressive to hang with the mayor of Weston, though, while we were there. That was
the mayor of Weston you were hanging out with?
C-Dot's he might as well be the mayor of Weston.
That's what you call him now?
It's one of his nicknames. Yeah, sure. C-Dot's the mayor of Weston.
Interesting.
Who knew?
I'm not going to visit the emergency room. I'm going to be good. If anything, it's going to be... I'm telling you right now, I can hang. It's not going to be me going to the emergency room.
He's threatening somebody else with a trip.
I'm not threatening. I'm saying I'm not going to be the one going.
Okay.
Carrington's got to relax a little bit.
Up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. Expected to hear from Andy Reid heading into Saturday's game against the Texans. Plus, fantasy football semifinals start tonight. Who are you starting in Thursday Night Football? We talk with Paul Charchian next.